the series. So, like, the person we were talking about was, I lost it. I forgot the first one. But this one we're talking about, we're going to talk about living in the past. Okay? Living in the past. And why does living in the past hurt us? And it actually is amazing timing for me and how God works, because some of you know that my dad passed, and like even this next Saturday coming up is the funeral. And during the time that my dad passed, my relationship with my dad was really hard. It was really hard. It was a hard relationship. And in that, there was a lot of pain connected to the relationship with my dad. There were a lot of things before he died that God put on my heart to go and talk to him, to go witness to him one last time. And I was obedient in doing that with all of my heart. And it was an amazing thing that when I heard of his passing and I got the call in the morning, and even for that week, I had mixed feelings. I was fighting feelings of, because he was very abusive towards me. So there was a lot of hurt. And then God showed me there was a lot of things within me that is very much like my dad. Very much like my dad. Good things and bad things. Both. But the one thing was is that what God really impressed on my heart was, I'm going to heal you of your hurt. I'm going to heal you of that hurt so that when you think of your dad, you'll think of the good thing. And no longer will it be intertwined and intermixed with that relationship that was so poor and then trying to look at the good thing. He goes, I'm going to heal you. And then what you will see is the good thing. And I started to remember a lot of things in which my dad took part in my life. He was present. And he was caring. And honestly, what comes about is that he did the best job he could. For as much as the choices of what he wanted to change. See, you have to know as you come to the altar, as you come before God each and every day, you have a choice. Today, entering that door and coming through here and making time to come into this place, you made a choice. You made a choice to come and fellowship because that's what God's called you to do. You have a choice to how your heart is as you enter that door, and you have a choice right now to listen to the message or not to listen to the message. Because you can sit in that seat right now, and it can go here and through here, and I've done it many times. You can hear it, you can feel all the goosebumps, and you can just feel, yeah, this was great. Or you can be here for other reasons. Maybe it's Auntie Jeannie's cooking that you're like, I gotta eat her cooking, right? That's it, that's why I come, right? And whatever it is, God draws you in, he draws you in whichever way. But if you peel back the onion, after a while and you get to the source, you find the motives of why you serve God. If you are looking, if you choose to look, if you choose to really find a focus and a purpose in your life of what God is speaking to you. I've asked many times, Lord, why do you put purpose and focus and all those things into my messages so much that what you're speaking through me? Because it means so much to me to walk in it, to be with God, to know who he is, and I don't rely on me, I rely on him. And if I can encourage you to do that just one little bit, you will have victory in your life. But when you are in your flesh doing your own things, we don't win. We don't win at all. And we struggle, and we get to the point where maybe there's a quiet time that you sit on your bed and go, why is everything in my life crazy?
Why does it not make sense? Why is it not going the way I want it to go? And as I peel it back every time, I miss my time with you. That's what God says to me. I miss my quiet time when we pray. I miss the times that you ask me and you wait for me. And you don't just talk about all the prayers that you want, but you wait and you're in that spot where you're waiting. And I know you're waiting. That's what God said. See, as Pastor Adams has spoken many times, we're distracted in so many different ways, you don't even know it. Josh asked the youth to write down all the times that, you know, what do? Not during school, because we know you're at school, but after school, what do? Right? What do on your time after school? Are you talking to friends? Are you on your phone? Are you playing a game? Or what are you doing, right? Write all those things down. Maybe as adults, we should do the same thing. Because when you write down what you do, you find out where you invest your time. And wherever you invest your time is where your fruit's going to come from. Amen? Amen? Your bondage, too. But that's what it is. It's the stronghold in your life as you peel it back. Because time will only tell what you put importance over everything else. You're on your phone the most, getting with your friends, then your friends are here. Where's God? Right? Where's your prayer time? Where's your time in the Bible? Where's your time, as Pastor, discipling? Where's that time? Are you growing? Are you not growing? What do you have? Right? I'm always observing what I do. This doesn't mean I'm perfect. It means I'm observing what I do because I want to know what's going on within me. You know why? Because there's so many things in my life that are just not exactly the way I thought they would go. But when I go back to God, it's exactly the way He's teaching me. Isn't that amazing? Oh, He's teaching me through the hard times? Yes. He's teaching me through tests and trials? Yes. He's teaching me through the fire? Yes. When I choose to go through. If you choose not to go through, then you will never know. Because you're always going to look for your comfort. You're always going to look for what's out for me. And I hate to tell you this, but that's public life. That's not walking with God. That's doing your own thing, making your own plan. And I found out the hard way. There's a lot of hurt. Even if you get what you want, it doesn't mean you prosper. Not in God's eyes. Not in God's way. So let's talk about living in the past. Why does living in the past hurt us? Okay? First of all, I want you to know that when you look back on like maybe a situation, if it's teaching you and you're growing from that situation where there's going to be change, that is a good thing. Because the only way we learn sometimes is when we really observe what had happened. And here's the thing that I always think that's so amazing. It never happened when I was growing up. But as you look into professional sports and they get better, like football players, half the time, you know, now they look at film. Film? What kind of film? We get movies? No. They look at films of what the other opponent is doing. They even look at film of what they were doing against the other opponent. They do that so much that they can break it down to say, hey, you were out of position here. What were you thinking here? What was going on here? Well, isn't that amazing? Why are they doing that? Because they want to get better. So in times when you look to the past and you want to get better, understand that's a good thing, okay? That's a good thing. And better doesn't mean, well, I'm looking back because I had more money then. Well, I'm looking back because I was more popular back then. No. That doesn't benefit you. Those are things that had happened. Beneficial things are like maybe when you chose to do something right. What caused you to choose something right? Who were you relying upon then? Does that make sense?
So I want you to know there's a good thing about looking in the past, because it teaches you. I'm going to talk about the things that hinder us and hurt us, because I want you to get better and past whatever we think about. And know that a lot of things that he is delivering me from was from my past hurts, from my past wounds. First of all, number one, when we don't let the past go, we can't move forward. And if you don't move forward, there's no change. Okay? So when we don't let go of the past, so we can't move forward, and then there's no change. Here's one of them. I had dyslexia. That's where you see things backwards. That's where you can't comprehend when you read a paragraph. And when you see a word that looks like a word, you don't read the word, you just kind of think what it looks like. And I got made fun of a lot when I was growing up. Through elementary school, really bad through middle school, and even in high school, I struggled. My grade point average in high school was 2.3. And every meeting that I had with my mom and dad about my grades was, it was always the teacher's fault. I have a bad teacher. Oh, my teacher didn't teach me. She or he was really bad. That was my number one excuse to the whole, every year. It's my teacher's fault. Oh, it was my teacher that did my homework? It was the teacher that took my test score? No, it was me. But I pointed the finger at something else. And then as my dad hammered on me, being an Asian dad, man, it was hard. Because on the opposite side, my sister was a 4.0 student, honor student, humanities student, all the way through. I had a counselor in college when she got her first C, and my mom called me, like, you need to go over there and talk to her. I said, huh? C was great for me. So in my mind, when I looked at my past and I thought about school or being smart, that wasn't me. Those words did not correspond and reflect who I was. In my past, I thought I was dumb. And when you think you're dumb, your options go from here to here. Right? And then that rolls over to other things. Oh, self-confidence? Really low. When I thought of myself, even lower. Could I do anything and think out of the box? I only saw the box. That's all I saw. Because I didn't think I was worthy to think outside of the box. I didn't think that anything that I did was anything that was smart or of value. See how it rolls? One thing, but there's so many strings attached to that one thing. Can I tell you that's past? I'm 54 years old. And that same stronghold comes up sometimes. People go, you don't think like everybody else. You don't act like everybody else. You're right. I follow God. And I have no problem following God because I rely on Him because He is my strength. He is my wisdom. When I make decisions, people go, why do you pray so much? Because I don't trust myself. That's why I pray. That's why I rely on God. And actually, during a review and an interview that I had for a job interview just this last week or so, they said, you know what? What's your weakness? And from my own manager said, you're too spiritual. In a faith-based job, I'm too spiritual. And I said, praise God, I'm too spiritual. I'd rather be too spiritual than too fleshly. Right? If that's your weakness, praise God. Right? Praise God. When someone says you're a little bit different because you follow God, praise God. That means you're doing something that the world's not doing. That means you're sticking out and doing something. They're standing for something. That means something in your life. You're not like when I was going through school.
I did whatever my friends did. I wanted to look cool, be cool, look good on the outside. It mattered what kind of jeans and shoes I wore. Can I tell you, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. It doesn't matter who your friends are or what you wear about who you are. But it does matter about who you follow. It does matter who you follow. Why can't I let go of the past? Let's go to Isaiah 43:18. Isaiah 43:18. I'm going to show you what God is saying to you about this situation of letting go of the past. It's amazing. It's amazing. As I started to look for scripture, I was just like, it's right here. And it's not really covered. It's just right in front of my face. Here we go. Isaiah 43:18. Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. I'm going to read 19 also. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. In the NIV it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. I love that because it's just really simple, right? Forget about the former things and do not dwell on the past. The NAS says, do not call to mind the former things. So it talks about the mind. Or ponder things of the past. The NLT says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. In all these things, they're saying, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Forget them remembering, the thinking about, the bring to remembrance. Don't remember certain things in your past. There was something that struck me about that that was just amazing. I want you to picture. Thank you, Lord. If I'm thinking about, okay, so if I'm walking through the day and I think about food, what happens to your stomach? It grumbles, right? Like, oh, I'm hungry now. I was thinking about it, now my stomach grumbles. Then as I walk along and I see someone eating a burger, ooh, that looks good. And what happens is I start to think about it again and my hunger kind of grows, right? It started at this place, and the more that I think about it, it grows. So if I think about the past for me, and if I think about how many times I failed, what happens is that belief that I failed starts to grow. You see the correlation? The more that you think or meditate on something, it grows. It grows. It grows. The more that you think that you're not popular, it grows. It grows. The more that you think you're struggling, it grows. It grows. So no wonder why God says meditate on his word. Why? Because that's what's going to heal you. Because that's what's going to encourage you. Oh, not your friends. Not winning the lottery. None of that will encourage you other than the word of God, which is true. That all they need to do is speak the word of truth and it goes down to all the way to the heart. It doesn't. You don't need a shot. You don't need a physical tool. The word of God goes all the way through down to the marrow. I mean, the deepest part of who you are. Do you realize when you get into your word, you are actually getting healing and his promises. And it's truth. He's not lying. He's not beating around the bush. He's speaking directly to your situation. problem is we don't go to the source. We miss that. So as we ponder on what it would be like to have win the lotto, what it would be like to be on the beach, a white sandy beach with beautiful aqua water and the breeze coming against my face. Oh, that would be lovely. Yes, it would be lovely. Rather than being in Washington where it's raining and it's cast over. You know what I'm saying? And then when you start to actually embrace your past about past hurts or even wants so much, and when it doesn't meet that expectation or your expectation, you always are what? Not thankful. Not happy. And you can't even see the little blessings that God's giving you every step of the way. He's giving you that cold cup of water. He's giving you the roof over your head. He's giving you the breath in your lungs. He's protected you on many occasions, but you can't see that because you're not getting what you want. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Or sometimes when we're supposed to forget about the past, in Isaiah, where it says, forget about the former things. I don't know if you've ever said this, but I've said this sometimes. It says, wasn't it really good to do whatever you wanted to do? And I said that when I was maybe single. I had maybe a really good paying job. I was working downtown at the Weston Building. I was only responsible for me. If I wanted to go eat out, I ate out. I wanted to go to a Mariners game, I just went. If I wanted to go to a movie, I didn't have to call anyone, I just went. I did whatever I wanted to do. And sometimes you think, wasn't it great when I could just do whatever I wanted to do? And then when you look back, you only remember the good things. But you don't remember everything else hurtful connected to doing your own thing. When you wasted all that money, and then that money was really for your bills. When you wasted all that time and you could have been spending that time focused on something else that was actually more fruitful. Or realizing, wow, I just kind of feel grimy and dirty doing my own stuff. Because see, when you do your own way and you find out that that's not what God wanted you to do during that time, I always feel like, wow, I missed the mark. Wow, I missed the mark. Man, I should have. When I look back, I get tempted back into old areas where He has delivered us. I go into areas, not only where I delivered, but then I forget about what He delivered me from. And so when I go back into those areas, the hurt, the guilt, and the shame come tenfold. And I wonder what I did. Well, I opened the door. And I stepped through to an area where He had delivered me from. But I decided to step through on my own. Because I wanted to relive. I only remembered the good stuff. I forgot about all the other stuff that was connected. The other part of Isaiah 43:18 in the NIV, it says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Right? So, you may think, well, that sounds kind of redundant, doesn't it? It says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Well, He's really, in the beginning, he's saying, he's trying to have us focus more on Him and do His will. But dwell, really stuck out. Do not dwell on the past. Dwell here in the Hebrew means to consider, to perceive, to observe, to give heed to. So really it's saying, do not consider the past. Do not perceive the past. Do not observe the past. Do not give heed to the past. If you've ever seen, I hate to bring this up because I'm older. I'm older. But some people think of the glory days, right? They think of when I could do, or when I could do, like for me. I remember when I used to do 225, and I used to have my, you know, put on a t-shirt, and my muscles were so big, I, you know, you could see them bulging through my t-shirt. I wish it was like that, you know. The problem is I'm not that today. I'm not that today. So I try to be like that. And I try to go back. And what does that do? I start to wallow in my past. I almost want my past more than my future. How can you do that? How can you live like that? Watch this. Can you go to 2 Corinthians 5:17? Second Corinthians 5:17. We're talking about forgetting the former things. So 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, which is good news. How can you be a new creature but living in the past? You know where he talks about that no one is worthy of when you put your hand to the plow to look back? Forgive me if I'm pointing at you. I need to use this as a... But look at this. I'm holding this pencil as a plow. KK, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to point to KK right here because I'm going to walk towards KK. He's right there. I'm going to walk towards KK. And I'm thinking about, as I'm looking at KK, think about KK as being God. So I'm walking towards God, right? I'm walking towards God this way, and I'm using this pencil because it's my pointer stick, so I know I'm walking towards KK. As long as I'm pointing towards him, I'm going towards God. But as soon as I look back, where am I pointing to now? Oh, Pastor Adam. I'm going to Pastor Adam now. But I'm supposed to go to KK. I'm supposed to go over here to God. God's over here. Right? I could be going towards this way, and I look over this shoulder. Now where am I going? I'm going this way, right? Towards Mayana, over here. What am I doing every time I look back? You're missing the mark. You missed the mark. Every time you look back, you miss the mark because your direction and where you're pointing to is now different because you look back. Whichever area you look back, you miss the direction. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting why people, when they drive their car, right? I'm driving, okay, got the music on, I'm driving. They don't drive like this, right? Do you drive like that? Yeah, right? Have you ever seen people when they're checking their sides when they're driving and they kind of swerve over to that lane?
I'm going to skip the lane.
Or they're checking their mirrors and they actually turn their body and they're looking to make sure. And they turn into that lane, right? People do it with their shopping carts. As you're in Costco, and you see a good sale, you're like this. Oh, sorry, I mean, you run into things. Because you go wherever you look. Where are you looking today? Where are you looking today? Is your focus or is God's focus? Because you could be looking backwards and missing the mark. You could be even pointed in the wrong direction. And then when you look back, you think, oh, I must be on mark. That must be it. And really, it was an accident. Or was it? Is God really wanting you to rely on Him and His will rather than you relying on whatever you think that I need to look back so that I can have those glory days back? Because that's when it was good. Do you know that good is now? Do you know that good is present? It's now. Why? Because you're living it right now. You're experiencing it right now. Where we were in the past, we grow. And I don't care if it was so good, but you've grown and gone through a lot of stuff since then. And I'm sorry for the things that God had to take you through, but you know, if you went through them, you learned what He had for you in each circumstance. I've been learning that. I've been learning that in my health in the most amazing way. One, I thank everyone who is praying for me because I feel it. It's not coincidence of the things that are happening to me. And there's so many different things that have been happening to me where they say, well, only 10% of the people get sick. I became that 10%. Oh, people really don't struggle that much after a certain amount of time. I'm struggling. But I'm relying upon God and going through it. He is helping me. He's so amazing. Then all of a sudden, it's just not my health. It's my job. That's changing. And praise God, because He's right there with me. There's been opportunities to take other jobs. I haven't heard from him, so I didn't move. Even my manager asked me, why didn't you take those other jobs? They could pay you more. Oh, well, I'm really not about the money. I'm about the calling. Because, see, the calling in my life matters more than the money. Because I know that he will provide for me because of faith. I have faith in him that he will grant me my finances. And when I had no job, did you know that God provided food for us? For my family. Not just for me, but for me and Rochelle and Josh and PJ and Megan. And at times, he provided also for my brother-in-law who was living with us too. Oh, and Rochelle's ex who was living in the same house. All in one house. Michelle wasn't working and I wasn't working. There were times where we got knocks on the door and people had a box of Costco food. And I looked at them, and I hate to say this because I'm embarrassed, but I was looking more at the food because I was so hungry. And as I was talking to them, I was like, why are you here? I'm looking at their box of Costco food. And he goes, well, God put it on my heart to bring food. And I literally started crying because our cupboards were empty. I have seen God move. And I know each and every one of you have seen God move. But the problem is we forget of what we did during those times when we saw God move. We forgot about getting on our knees and giving Him my all. I forgot about the quiet times before Him and laying down and really talking to Him and opening up my heart to God. I forgot about all the menial things that started to come to me with, hey, you can make this much money doing this and this and this, rather than just wanting to hear from Him how to go. Because wherever He wanted me to go, He parted the seas, and He talked to the person on the other side of the desk. And it wasn't me trying to look good so I could get an interview, so I could get a job, so I could make money, so I could do it on my own. It was about doing His will, because that job was going to teach me something. When I went to Easter Seals, I didn't know why I went to Easter Seals. I wasn't a program person. I wasn't good at charting. I wasn't doing about all those other things. I didn't know about Down syndrome or autistic kids or people that had dementia or Alzheimer's. I didn't even know why I was doing that, and it was all in one room. And after 4 years, on the third year, he showed me why I was at that job. Because my mom got Lewy body dementia. And my dad was diagnosed later with Alzheimer's. And I knew how to talk to them and deal with them to help my sister who was taking care of them. And all the struggles she was going through, I was mentoring her, educating her, and encouraging her. Because she was the one with the power of attorney. My parents trusted her, not me. And that was okay. But I knew what my the will of God was to help her. And I couldn't have helped her unless I listened to God and I was there. You may not know why he's sending you to the desert. You may not know why he's sending you to certain things. And it's not for us to think, but to say, yes, Lord. Because he has the plans, right? He has the plans, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Hurt you? No. Prosper you? Yes. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he can guide you? Do you believe that he has your best interest? And do you believe he can take you out of wherever you're at and put you to where he wants you to be and that it will line up? Will you have to change? Will you have to change the way you think? Oh, yeah. How, Chris? It won't be on your energy. It won't be on what you've had, even in the past sometimes. It's if you will rely on him for his wisdom, for his understanding, and for his strength. When you seek, just like all the great people through the Bible, and when you seek him, you will find him. When you seek him with all your heart, says in Jeremiah. When you find him, there you will find what he's calling you to do. Do you know yet? Have you spent enough time at his feet yet? That's what he asked me. He said, Chris, maybe you don't know because you haven't spent enough time. And if you don't know how to get there, ask some of the pastors. They're more than happy to tell you how to get there. Can we go to Luke 9:62? Luke 9:62 is just letting you know where I got the, it says, but Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's the scripture that I was talking about with the plow, right? Can we go to Psalms 51:4? Sorry about that. Psalms 51:4. Psalms 51:4. Against you, that's talking to God, you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. The reason God brought that to my attention is that we need to repent. We need to repent of those things. Well, every time we look back, we need to repent of looking back. Every time we start to think that the grass is always greener on the other side, we need to repent because you're not thankful for where you're at. Your heart. You know, the reason why Pastor Rochelle was saying, you know what, we need to open our heart, not our arms, but our heart. When our heart is wide open, you're saying, do whatever you want to do, Lord. I'm vulnerable, and I'm here. I trust you. You do whatever you're going to do. You're my doctor. You heal me. I trust you. You have my best interest, Lord. I trust you. But when you complain, and you say, I wish I had that, or I wish I had that, or I wish I did that, and you look to the past, or you look to other people, you're not thankful. And if you're not thankful for where you're at, your heart is not of God. And it's a cancer. And everything after a while will only be about you. You'll start to look at things and go, well, what's in it for me? What can you do for me? Really, you can't bring anything to the table for me? Well, then why am I doing anything for you? That's not a servant. A servant's heart is the will of God. And when you look at David, David did it when no one was around. David fought the bear and the lion, and he got stronger and found out more about himself when it was just him and God. You know that's the hardest time? Because when you're by yourself and you think you're by yourself and God's not around, you feel like, hey, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm cool. No one sees me. No one knows. I can do whatever I want to do. Those are the most dangerous times. When you're bored is the most dangerous time. When you have time on your hands and you've done everything and now you want to relax and be entertained, those are the most dangerous times because you get into things that just sound good, look good. But when you listen and you look with your flesh, you feed your flesh. When you look spiritually with the Holy Spirit, He guides to what He tells you what is good. And you don't have to worry if it's good or not, you just have to obey what He's saying to do. And that's what's powerful with our God. That's why looking in the past, it doesn't work. Those circumstances are different because we're living right now in the future, right now in the present. You have different tests and struggles. Don't you want to be healed right now of those things, of what right now is on your heart and what's going through now? We need to repent and lay it down. And how you do that is not look back at the former thing. Don't look at the former thing. You're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus right now. Right now. Be excited about what He's going to teach you today. And when you start to do that, and you start to really be hungry, and you start to learn, all you teachers out there that have seen students, or all you parents that have seen your kids, when they actually are studying, when they start to study and they start to get it, not that they did their homework and they checked it off and they wrote all the right answers down and stuck it in their book, or texted someone or called them for the answer, but when they really get it, when they really are learning it, you can see the wheels turning and they're like, hey, you can use this concept for this. I get this. I saw Josh when he went to college, and he goes, I finally understood why I learned all those different theorems and all these different things, because from this is the world. He started to understand how, oh, this is physics, or this is chemistry, or these are how these two components work together. He started to realize life and what they do. He started to figure out that what he was learning in school could actually transfer over to someone that does their job. He started to get excited, like, oh, there's a meaning behind all the labor of being in a classroom. But if you can't see that, then you sit there and go, oh, this teacher is boring because I hate their voice. This room is so hot, I can't focus. Right? All these minor things. You get distracted. You lose your focus. When you repent also of your sin, and it says, we sin against Him when we sin, and when you repent and you ask forgiveness from Him, you're washed clean. So all those past hurts are gone. All your past is gone. He washed it with His blood. Are you saying that His blood is not as powerful today as it was then? It is. Quit walking in the guilt and the shame of old past. I did it. All you have to do is think about it. It's right there. The guilt and shame will never leave you until you let it go. And sometimes you can't let it go. That's when you ask for help. That's when you ask for prayer. And that's when you go to God with everything in you going, Lord, teach me how to let this go, because it's killing me. The guilt and shame was for you not to bear, not to hold on to, not to bring up in a Rolodex whenever you wanted to. If you ask for forgiveness, it's gone. Quit walking in it. You're not that person, and the guilt that you felt is gone. The shame is gone. But if you bring it up, you bring it up. And that's where we get killed. That's where we get killed. Because in our mind, the enemy just whispers, and then we start to go. Then we start to think. And then as we start to think, and we think about all the stories that are connected with that, then I start to look at everyone really, really different. I think, oh, you're that story. Oh, my story behind you is this. My story behind you is this. And then you start to walk in paranoia, and then all of a sudden, your confidence goes down because it's in yourself. Can you see where that happens? Enemy just whispered in your ear. And you took it and you ran with it. Where if you do this, and I love it because Anthony was telling me this, he goes, I talk it so much in my meetings every day. Well, not every day, but mostly when we talking about the mind. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, in the last part of that scripture, it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've said it so much, I've memorized it. I'm not a good memorizer. But God wrote that on my heart. And I said it enough. I believe in it so much that I stand on that. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I will not take that thought of shame. I will not take that thought of guilt from the past. I will not. I love what Pastor Patrick has said. You ever seen those vacuum salesmen that come to your door? They used to come a lot. They come knock. You open up the door. Now, if you open up the door, if you're like me, you open up the door, right? Hey, how you doing? And they give you the spiel. And then they go, hey, can I just see your living room? And this is me. Okay. So I take them, they come in, bring them over. He brings out his bag, and I'm sure I'm on the room floor. Oh, yeah, there's coffee stains, and there's oil. Oh, it's this bag. Let me get my foot. And he's standing up in this foot on my carpet. Oh, what are you doing? Well, I just want to make sure we rub in that coffee grounds, so those are really hard to get out. Okay. Now, with this new vacuum cleaner we have, it'll take all that out. Just walk. Okay, you stand by. There's something in. Puts it in. Turns it on. I'm like, some kind of, like, check engine. I'm like, oh my goodness. They better clean it or I'm going to kill him. So he's going over it, right? He's coming up. You want to know something? It all came out. But now my carpet has a big round spot in the middle that's so clean and everything else is good. And you know what the funny thing is? He knows. He goes, hey, the rest of your carpet looks really bad. Don't you want to do the rest? You can buy this machine and do it yourself. If I hadn't let him in, he couldn't have done that. There's a reason why when people open up the door and they stick their head out, why they don't let you in, because they want to hear first what's going on, they want to discern what you're trying to do, and then from that, they go, hey, I thank you, but I'm okay with my carpet, and I thank you for your time. Thank you. Right? And they close the door. Why do they do that? Because they don't want them to come in. They don't want to have access to that. If you let them into your place, then they'll camp and do whatever they're going to do, and then you're stuck with a different problem. When a solution. When the thought comes into your mind, and you entertain those thoughts, That's the same thing of letting the salesman in and doing their stuff. When the thought comes into your brain, all of a sudden the guilt and shame hit, all of a sudden you got to move on something. Because, oh, I can't look like that. I can't be like that. I can't have other people think of me like that. And you're moving on something that's not real. Rather than making sure when the thought comes, I don't open that door. You know what I do? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord Jesus, will you help me? Will you take that thought away from me? And then after a while, when those thoughts come and I started to pray like that, and Jesus started to show me, and I started to change them into prayers, the enemy stopped coming. Oh, the enemy stopped coming. Praise God, right? Praise God. The battle starts here, because if it goes to here, it's going to get to here. And if it gets to your heart, then it's going to go to your feet, because you're going to walk out of it. It's not rocket science, but you got to cut it off at the path. It's in your mind. The battlefield's in your mind. Your thoughts. You have one of the most amazing friends you'll ever have. You have the most amazing God who will come and teach you on your level, whatever level that is. And he will teach you, he will strengthen you, he will even give you his wisdom and Holy Spirit to be inside of you to combat what's ever going on. You know what my problem is? I try to do things myself. Can I tell you, time and time again, it does not work. It doesn't work. When you do it on your own, even though you may look good, it doesn't work. It doesn't last. And eventually something implodes inside. I'm just going to read some because we're falling back on time. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32 says this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. He's saying it in his word. It's as plain as day. That's for you. That's for me. When you repent and you're done, you're done. You're not that person. You don't have those things. It's cleansed. 2 Peter 1, 8 through 9. So, it says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind, short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former things. You've been purified. Then why do we go back to that stronghold? We get right up to that line where we're being tempted, like, hey, yeah, you want to tempt me? Go ahead, tempt me. I'm strong. Rather than when you see the temptation, turn. Pastor Jeannie always says, you know, when you repent, it doesn't mean you're just sorry. You turn from your wicked way. When you see and you come up to that one point where there's temptation, you don't sit there and go, ooh, look, it's all shiny. And I love the light. Ooh, it smells so good on this side. Maybe I should try it. No, you already know you were caught in that before. You turn and you go the other way, and you go all the other way fast, and you get as far away from that temptation as you can. And as you're going away from that temptation, you're praying. Hey, God, will you help me? I need to get out of here. I can't handle this. When you get that edginess or that feeling of, ah, I can feel this, something's coming up again, get out of there. We got into that temptation because it was us. But when you ask for God's help, he will strengthen you to get out of there. He will help you return your wicked way, so that you will follow him and be more like him. We need to let go of the darkness and walking in a new way of life. Looking back and comparing and wanting life to be easy and comfortable like it had been or what you want it to be. It doesn't make you stronger. It doesn't make, it doesn't change who you are. If it's the one thing that I have resonated all the way through, is that your own comfort will kill you. But when you do God's will, you will, He will strengthen you on your weakest side and make it strong. And just like when you look at sports teams, they always say, hey, who was the weakest player? Because if you have a lot of weak players, then you have a weak team. And when all the players get strong and unified and walking together in one accord, it's an unbeatable team. Because there's no weakness. That's you too. That's you and your job. That's you at home. That's you and your ministry. That's you and your personal relationships. That's you and your family life. Whatever it may be, when you say yes, Lord, He heals you in your weakest areas to make you strong. So no longer do you focus on that area. You go to the next area, and then the next area, and the next area. But God is the one that knows what is your weakest area, and then He is with you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death until you get through of the test and trial, and you come out on top of the mountain. And then He goes, next, what comes out of that? You want to know what the funny thing is about this whole sermon? That was one area. I had two more areas to talk about. That was just one area of not living in the past. There's more. But can I want to encourage you with this on the last, this last part. And I'm just going to give you kind of a brief synopsis. The last part is wrong focus. Okay? Sometimes what happens is we have a wrong focus. We are stuck in the past, not interested in the present, and we dwell on the past failures of guilt or shame. And we don't even realize we do that. We just start to have a negative attitude. Everything you say, everything you talk about someone is all negative. Right? Negative, negative, negative. And then and maybe sometimes you may be a little bit superficial. Like, how are you doing? I'm fine. Really short. Don't really want to open up your heart. Trying to hide what was really going on. When you reflect on God's goodness towards you in spite of your past mistakes, in Psalms 25:7 says, do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions, which is your sin. According to your loving kindness, remember me. So he's talking to God. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. I want you to listen to this song. I'm going to play this song. I had Pastor Adam put it up on. This song really means a lot to me, and I'm going to talk about the song afterwards, but I want you to listen to the words, okay? If you have heard this song before, it's great. The words are going to be up on the screen. I want you to look at the words. Look into the words of the song.
With the strength of your faithfulness.
For me, that song ministers to me because I have many scars.
Every family has a scar. History, better or worse, always.
When I hear that song, I have many scars. I didn't say wounds, and I didn't say hurts. I have many scars. See, a wound is something that hasn't been healed yet. He healed my wound. He was my doctor and is my doctor and continuing to be my doctor in every area of my life. What I have is many scars, and I'm thankful for each one of those scars because those scars mean that he touched my life, healed my life, changed my life to know who he is, who his heart is, and to trust him in that fashion to the point to where I am free to walk again. But you don't get that unless you choose him. You need to choose him, to walk with him, to rely upon him in every facet of your life. And when that happens, you can truly look back. And I'm telling you, I've asked some people that have been through some pretty major stuff. You know what they keep telling me? They keep telling me, you know, I wouldn't change my life, even through all the mess, through all the hurt. Because through all the heart and through all the mess, they found God. And they're not letting go. They're not letting go. I'm not going to let go through all the turmoil and things. I've seen him do miracles. I'm sorry if you've never seen a miracle. I'm sorry if you don't have the faith that he's given you to step out and do some things. And when you go through with God and you get to see when you go through on the other side, you see his heart. You see his compassion. You see that he is alive and kicking. An amazing God that we serve. And I'm sorry if you've never experienced that, because he is. And if you haven't experienced it, you can. But you're going to have to change. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to choose him? And I'm not talking when you're on top of the mountain. I'm not talking when things are so good. I'm talking about when it's really bad. I'm talking when the test and trial comes and the teacher's at the front saying, okay, here's the test. Will you rely upon God? And not just say, hey, God, please help me. That's not relying upon God. That's a drive-by prayer. You might get a drive-by answer. Or you can sit down with him and really get to know what he has for you in your testimony file, and that he will be faithful, and he will come out changed. Maybe you can deliver and definitely sanctify, cleanse. If you want to look at someone in the Bible that did this, look at Paul. Paul took Christians and he was hanging them, stoning them. God said, I got a plan for you, but they're coming after you. You need to leave. You're going to go talk to my Gentiles. Leave now. And he did. Paul left. And Paul grew in his faith. Paul knew and started to trust God. And then he used him, what? Mightily. So you may be thinking, I got too many sins. I've sinned against God too much and I've done too much. Go read about Paul. Go read about Paul. If he has to blind you in a place, talk to you in a certain way so you, he gets your attention, he will. He will. He gave it to me. But Paul turned, and God used what was for bad for good. He can use each and every one of us here in this place mightily. So it's not just for one person to stand up here and bring the word. When you walk out what God's calling you to do, and you start to do the calling that he put on you, created you for, watch out. You're speaking volumes rather than being up here beyond the pulpit. Your pulpit is everywhere. Your pulpit is when you get up in the morning for your family or the people that are in your group. You speak volumes when you walk for Christ, when you choose for him. And Paul didn't walk in the past. He let go of that, and he saw the point of where he wanted to go. And he saw the focus, and he walked towards that focus, and he never let go. You can do the same. You can do the same. I don't care how much you know of God. You can know God. But it's going to take your choice, your heart, and laying down your past. Oh, I'm not a good reader. I don't really like to read. Come talk to me. I understand it. Through his Holy Spirit, I understand it. He speaks through me through his living word. And it's amazing. It's also encouraging. That's why I go to it. He encourages me every time. Never fails. He's always faithful. So, I just encourage you today, stop living in the past. It's easier to say, harder to do. When we choose to quit living in the past, we can move forward and we can grow and change. It's time for us to move forward and grow and to change our focus. If you'll change your focus, you'll change.
Thank you, Pastor. That we're going to make that totally new. Yes, we are. That was perfect.
Right.
Talking about focus, not focusing on living in the past, it brought me to this one particular story where Jesus had met a blind man. I don't know if you've heard about him. He was blind from the day he was born. And in John chapter 9, and we'll go back to Isaiah 40, 40. And as he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples, Jesus' disciples, asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Now this is Jesus, it's this amazing situation. Not only that Jesus would teach them something, the way he answered, he said, it was neither this man that this man sinned nor his parents sinned. He wasn't talking about his parents was perfect. He's saying, that's not the right question. The focus is not correct. Because they were focusing on consequences. This man is blind, is it because he sinned or is it because his parents sinned? Jesus said, neither. Neither of those is because he was blind. But yet Jesus said this. It was neither this man's sin nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Focus on that. Focus on the fact that, yes, no doubt he was born blind, but more so focus on what God is doing with that. And the wonder why when Pastor Chris, when he opened up Isaiah 43, he says, do not call to mind the former things. We relate where we are, who we are, based on the former things. Granted, we experience through it. And I'm so thankful that there are other people, not just us, who's hearing this, the author of the song, thankful for the scar. They have a purpose, but what is our focus? Do not bring a ponder on things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Maybe some of you realize that, Lord, I'm so sorry. Today is a day of repentance, so that we can realign in Him, not about what we can do or what we have done. We must repent of the things that we have done, that have put us in a place is considered wilderness, put us in a place of the desert. But here's the thing. Did not God allow that to happen? If God would have stopped you from sinning, he could have done that, wouldn't he? But he allows it because he has the power to know that he can love you back. He can love you all the way to the far as you will rebel. He can still love you as long as there's still day that he can work on. But one day will come when there's no more day. What would you do? But here's the good news. Why are you in the wilderness? Why are you in the desert? So he can make a river through it. So that he can make a pathway through it. That's where we need to focus on. Amen? And so as the Holy Communion, I ask the help to Jaden and me. Let me get the... Yeah, thank you. Let's prepare our hearts. Thank you for the word that God has put into Pastor Chris, through his own life experience. This is not just a sermon, an exercise that he does to fulfill an essay for the Sunday. And all that we receive today, Father, prepare our hearts for you. Father, help us to focus on you and not on us. Yes, your light will be shined into our life and reveal a lot of things about our life. Some things are the culmination of the things of the past, the mistakes that we have done, the sin that we have caused, the bondage that still continually pulls us back, the temptation that's knocking at the door. Father, we pray, today is about you. Today is about, Lord, that even if, more so, that if our life can be any more useful for you, just like that blind man, for such a time as this, what would you use us, Lord Jesus, today? Father, we repent of our mindset, of our stubbornness, of our unbelieving heart, to not recognize that you're about to build a river through the desert, that you're about to build a road in the wilderness. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have this thing. Father, as the bread that was broken for us and the cup that represents your blood that was given to us, Father, we pray that we would spend the time contemplating on your power, on your forgiveness, on your hope, that it is about just about our ruins, our past, our weaknesses. But in all of that humbleness, Lord, teach us how to be humble. Teach us, Lord, how to let go and let God. Teach us how to be determined to know that from now on, Lord, we live based on Jesus' strength, God's strength, and not our own strength. Rid of us our ambition to think that we can live on our own, to think that we can carve our own pathway or create our own river in the desert. Father, we surrender to you.